everybody. Bill Buckmaster in the driver's seat, ready to rock and roll on this Wednesday midweek edition. It's August 6th, 2025. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, yesterday during the show, General Jeff Buchanan, retired three-star, who is one of the five members of the Game and Fish Commission. He represents our area on Game and Fish, and Jeff and his family live in Patagonia, and he says, normally this time of year, August, the fields are green, the hills are green in Patagonia. He's never seen it like this, Tom. It's just bone dry, brown, everything's dried out. It's very concerning.
And how many times have we thought so far this summer that maybe we have experienced the hottest day that we're going to, only to be faced with another hottest day.
Yeah, and this will be the hottest day ever recorded in the month of August in Tucson, and we've got about 3 days. That's kind of what they're saying.
At least two chances today and tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And then hopefully, when you're talking about 104, 105 over the weekend, maybe a chance of rain. Boy, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson. Five radio stations under one roof. Our station across the hall, congratulations, they celebrated yesterday. That's The Drive, KDRI, The Drive, very popular. 101.7 celebrated their sixth anniversary yesterday. We had some notable radio personalities who visited during the noon hour. It was great to see a bunch of old friends. But this radio station's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted live news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening during the noon hour at buckmastershow.com and also at buckmastershow.com. All of our programs, pretty much every program we've ever done, is archived there for you on the website. We try to get our podcasts available for you by about, somewhere around the dinner hour, thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be leading off today with a telephone interview. District 4 Supervisor Steve Christie in his third four-year term on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. The one-time auto dealer is the lone Republican on the five-member board, and he joins us now on the live line. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I was a little bit surprised when I received this news release today from Pima County that the vote was 4-0, unanimous vote yesterday, to immediately lift stage 2 fire restrictions in unincorporated areas of the county. What's going on there?
Well, apparently the county is following suit with the state and the federal land ownership as far as lifting restrictions. And historically what has happened is that when the federal government, the Bureau of Lands and Forestry lift restrictions, the county, or I should say the state, then follows suit and lifts them as well. And Pima County, based on those restrictions being lifted, does the same thing. So apparently what has been determined and deciphered through this whole process is that as far as fire issues or fire danger, there's enough resiliency in the soils and in the growth that mitigate any kind of fire situation. This basically is Pima County owned land that we're restricting the fire restrictions upon. There's enough evidence from Pima County and from the state and from the feds that there are no immediate dangers for wildfire at this particular time. That does not mean, however, that people should feel very cavalier about how they treat our properties and how we're going to manage them. And there is always the chance that as things, as you pointed out with Tom, digress into those issues of fire danger, that we may have to resort back to stage one. But at this particular time, the evidence that was offered to the county and county-owned lands based on the positions taken by the state and the feds, that the restrictions could be lifted. But I, again, urge caution, obviously, throughout our Pima County lands to make sure that we don't do anything as humans or otherwise to create a fire situation.
What about your area of Mount Lemmon that you represent there? It's been bone dry up there recently, hasn't it?
No, actually, they did get a substantial amount of rain earlier, not as much as they would normally like to get. So the restrictions as far as the fire are concerned. However, the water situation is now up to a stage three. More water is being used by the community up there and by the visitors that enjoy the cool up there, to the point where water restrictions and usage have been imposed as far as conserving the water that they have. We're not getting enough water to replenish our tanks up there and the wells up there. So restrictions are in place for water, and it's made things a bit uncomfortable in many areas, but that Summer Haven community and the business district are very resilient. They're adapting to it and making modifications in how they allow their water usage to be able to function. And they're very, very good at conserving water. But nonetheless, it is at what is termed as a stage three, which is it's not the severest, but it's getting up there.
All right. We're talking with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, the lone Republican on the 5-member board. What's your take on what's going on with Project Blue, what everybody's talking about? There are a lot of doubts, actually, whether this is going to move forward with the city of Tucson. And Nikki Lee, Councilwoman Lee, disclosed yesterday that even if Project Blue gets a thumbs down at the city, the Project Blue folks say they're not going to give up on Southern Arizona. They'll find another community or even unincorporated Pima County. Some of your thoughts, Steve Christie.
Well, we've been also notified that there's going to be a $33 billion data center investment up in Pinal County.
Mm-hmm.
That's scheduled somewhere in 2026. So that industry is here to stay in one form or the other, or one location or another. Marana has been apparently been cited as a possible data center, and some other areas out in across the county lines in neighboring counties. My regret, if anything took place that would stop the Project Blue project from developing and taking place where it was initially designed to, which is those 293 acres north of the fairgrounds, is that right off the bat, if something should happen to that, we're going to lose out $20 million of sale money for land that really cannot be used for any other function because it's in the flight path and in what they call the paddle area of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So this is probably the best and most valuable use of that property because there's not very many, if any, other uses it could be utilized for. And Pima County, with all of its budget problems and with all of its programs that definitely need source funding, this could turn into another Motorola moment, and we will be losing $20 million of income into the general fund of Pima County. Now, $20 million is just about the entire budget proposed for road repair in Pima County for 1 year. And we're not going to have access to that money. It can't be used for anything else because if it's not approved, we won't get it. So I'm concerned about that. I think that we have a burgeoning in our community. It's what has historically been known as a Motorola moment. when the community basically reacted the same way to semiconductor production by Motorola back in the 70s. And Motorola, there was a downturn in the economy, and that was their excuse based on public acceptance, where they decided to pull up stakes on the whole project and wait for a rebound in the market for chips. And they came back when the market rebounded and went to another place called Austin, Texas, and that became a huge tech center. We missed out on that, and we won't have the property tax revenue. We won't have the jobs, the 3,000 plus jobs for the next 3 or 4 years while this is going on. The unions are desperately in need of good, solid work, and this would provide that, and they're behind this project. Tucson is going to be relegated to the backwater of an area that is not coming into the 21st century with all of the high-tech industries that Project Blue would be related to in our district especially. So I would hate to be the city council person who cast the deciding vote not to annex Project Blue and be saddled with that legacy forever. This is a very pivotal time in our community. Plus, we're going to lose out on all that 18-mile infrastructure of pipelines, of hookups for sewer and water. I think it's really a travesty that people don't realize that Pima County desperately needs jobs. People want to have the ability to stay in Pima County and provide a living for their families and not have our brain drain from the University of Arizona. Everybody comes to the University of Arizona, it seems, and then turns around and leaves. My daughters, all three of my daughters, graduated from the University of Arizona, and the moment they got their degree, they looked for work, they couldn't find anything, and they left town. There's so many unintended consequences or implications if we don't start looking at these industries and trying to take advantage of it, especially when there's, 145 data centers in the Phoenix area? And it seems to be the case that those all seem to be functioning just well and with no negative implications or ramifications up there.
All right, we're going to have to take a break right here. Steve Christie with us, the lone Republican on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. It's our midweek edition, back right after we take this short break.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch The Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, on our live line representing District 4, the lone Republican on the board. Did you have any success at the meeting yesterday, Supervisor Christie, in getting the county to begin discussions on how to respond to President Trump's executive order targeting homeless people sleeping in encampments in public spaces?
Well, first of all, I should note that I attend the Board of Supervisors meeting, so you don't have to, Bill. So in response to your question, yes, I think I did. I asked County Administrator Lesher that if that executive order that you referred to from President Trump was conveyed and implemented as presented, along with the appropriate funding, would Pima County comply with the executive order? And I got a very definitive and distinct yes from the county administrator. So I really didn't need to go into any more detail after that answer, and she didn't need to provide me any more detail after that answer, other than the statement itself, which is, according to the county administrator, if that executive order was presented and offered as written and had the funding for it, yes, Pima County would comply with it, and I find that myself to be a very positive and beneficial thing, and something that's long been needed. And President Trump is taking a very definitive action on this with this executive order, and it's something that I think it's timely. And to hear directly from County Administrator Lesher's mouth that she is stating that the county would comply is a very good thing, and I feel very good about it.
As one of the architects of the original 20-year Regional Transportation Authority plan, which will be sunsetting, expiring next May 2026, does it pain you to see what's going on with this effort to try to get another program before the voters?
Terribly. It pains me terribly. As you know, I was intimately involved from its inception and believed in it then as much as I do now. And to see what is happening as far as the degradation of the original meaning and fundamentals and guardrails that were implemented back in 2006 crumbling away, and the intent and the purpose and the mission of the RTA being put in a position of great vulnerability, it's very troubling to me and very problematic. And I think, given what Mr. Ortega, the new executive director of PAG RTA, is trying to do, he's really trying to thread a needle in a very complicated maze of knots. And I have to give him credit for his creativity. However, I think the best issue, and I've said this to Mr. Ortega, is to stop trying to find ways around certain issues, such as gap funding or project completion by extending them into RTA2 and other areas, which he's very deftly trying to implement, is that the board and the committees need to get back to work and get back to work quickly and have a plan presented to the Board of Supervisors by the end of this month that we can approve, that we can send on to the voters for final discernment, yes or no. And every day that we spend trying to navigate this very meandering course that's not leading to anything constructive or any kind of consensus, really, is two or three days here, two or three days there, that we won't be getting back in time to get the plan done and offered to the Board of Supervisors and then offered to the public. So I urge the PAG and RTA boards, the Citizens Advisory Committee, the Technical Management Committees, to double down on their efforts to come up with a plan that is acceptable to the Board of Supervisors and the public. And I think if they put their shoulders to the grind wheel, they can get it done. And the quicker they get it done, the more chances we have of getting that plan before the voters in time, so there aren't any ramifications about funding gaps.
Well, some have said Steve Christie, could save regional transportation by, as the lone Republican, if you decided to make it unanimous and increase the sales tax, that would save RTA.
Yeah, and as I've stated publicly on numerous occasions, particularly in a Board of Supervisors meeting, if that would happen, there are no guardrails that could protect the focus of that income from a sales tax. There's nothing that would keep it from keep the money going elsewhere or being changed course in the middle of the stream. There would be no sunset clause that is part and parcel of the original RTA 20-year plan. A number of things could be changed even after, if I went along with the sales tax, numerous things could be changed from what would be its initial intent, or at least portrayed as its initial attempt, merely by a majority vote of the Board of Supervisors. And I said it then and I say it now, this majority on the Board of Supervisors or any future majority on the Board of Supervisors like the one we have now cannot be trusted to have complete access to that kind of funding that can be changed merely by a majority vote. If it is something that I know what the priorities are of my colleagues, the majority on the board, and they have put those priorities very often ahead of any kind of infrastructure improvements, and there's nothing to keep them from stopping from changing what they are going to say initially, that, well, this plan, all this money is going to go to road repair and infrastructure improvements and congestion issues, all of those. That could be fine for a month, 2 months, a year, but there's nothing preventing them at some point in the very near future of saying, you know, we really don't need all these road projects after all. Why don't we divert that money and send it towards public housing projects or climate resiliency or any kind of change, climate change that we can battle. There's no safeguards, backstops, or guardrails that can keep them from changing where that money goes, and they can't be trusted merely by having a majority vote to do so.
And you will be portrayed as the bad guy. That is a strong possibility.
I think when I make the case that I just did, if I ever have to, that that money can be changed in any direction at any time, people will understand why I voted no. And if that's being a bad guy, then so be it.
Couldn't there be something written in there that would be ironclad? It would have to be used for roads, but I guess that wouldn't be possible, huh?
That wouldn't be possible. That could be changed. That ironclad issue that you just mentioned,
yeah,
that could be changed by a mere board majority vote at any time.
What's your prediction? Do you think we're going to be able to vote on this? If you had to, yes or no?
I think I'm forever the optimist, and I think once it's realized that there's no way of getting around that issue of a additional sales tax, and realizing that it can only happen with a unanimous vote, I think that will be a motivation for the PAG RTA board and their committees to double down their efforts and get a project before the Board of Supervisors at the end of this month. They've got time to do it if they work hard at it, and I am positive, I feel very positive that it can be done.
Are you still enjoying the job?
Well, I was going to ask you if I had told you this before, but I still love being supervisor.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, you've got, 3 more years on your term, so we'll see what happens. Steve, thank you very much. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor. Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me again. Good talking to you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Steve Christie with us. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show. The superintendent is in the house. He oversees the largest school district in southern Arizona. Gabriel Trujillo, he will be next after the mid-show break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Green Things and Zocalo Village sponsor our studio here on the program, and they're a great operation. Jen and Jack, the owners, know them very well, very hands-on. They watch what's going on very carefully out there, and they stock the place, the 13 acres. I don't think they could get one more green thing at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. The website's greenthingsaz.com, and they're very proud of the sister business, Zocalo Village. And if you're looking for any kind of pottery for your plants, and this might be a great time here as we're hopefully going to get some rain. Arizona's largest selection of pottery is at Green Things and Zocalo Village. Voted Tucson's best garden center. And greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, as we did for the first half of the show, that is sponsored by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we try to get Dr. Gabriel Trujillo to come in, and he's kind enough to do so. He's a very busy man. He's the superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona. That's Tucson Unified, and he's with us right now. School open. It's so hard for me to believe, coming from the Midwest, where school didn't begin in August. In August, I'd be down at the beach at Lake Michigan. Are hanging out with friends still. August was still very much a summer month, Dr. Trujillo. Not here, though.
Not in Arizona. It's good to be back, Bill. This is day three, and it is a scorcher. In fact, day one, day two, and day three have been scorchers. I have been, like, beating this drum for several years. It is ridiculous that we start this early in the throes of such extreme heat. Number one, it's incredibly expensive. The money we could save on utilities, on power, on electricity, running these massive AC units at 86 campuses for 30 or 40 days in the peak of the summer, it would be millions that we could save if we started after Labor Day. Secondly, we're starting so soon. We're not giving our operations teams a chance to really get onto these campuses.
No, they can't really get into during the summer. This is ridiculous.
Right, and they lose the month of May because of summer school. They lose most of June, and they really only have a few weeks in July, and then we start August 4th. There's no time for them to buffer and seal floors or do any preventative maintenance. So I've always just thought that this has just been really ridiculous, Bill.
Well, who decides this? Can we change this?
This is the state of Arizona, right? So the state of Arizona mandates 180 days of school come heck or high water. You have to get it into your calendar. And then those days have to work around your winter breaks and your fall break and your Thanksgiving. So pretty much every school district faces this challenge. And then the state's testing requirements require that you fit those days in, right, for your required AASA testing. So all of that really demands that school districts push their calendars back further and further and further. And then if you want to do anything like professional development or you want to add any district holidays, that just pushes the start date earlier because it doesn't count towards your 180. But this antiquated old school requirement came from like 1980. Right. So it's like 40 years old, this requirement.
Here in town?
No, the state law.
So how long has school, what's kind of the history of school beginning this early in Tucson?
Well, that began in the age of standardized testing, right? So when the old Ames test came in, that's what started the march to extend the school year because you had to add those additional days. And then the AIM successor, which was AZ Merit, was a longer testing window. So you had to add those days in. And now the successor to AZ Merit is the AASA, Arizona Academic Skills Assessment. And that has a crazy 30-day testing window that you have to make available. to all of your schools. So it's just really pushed all of our days further and further and further behind. And then if you want to like fit in any additional holidays, because you have to take that into consideration with your families, it just pushes the calendar, you know, to an earlier start. I've always held the line with my team and said, even though it's symbolic, we will never have a July start date. Even psychologically, if it's like July 31st,
right, the
morale of the teachers, just psychologically having to start in July, would just be really, really devastating. So,
is there a workaround to this, though? If you had the power, could you do something about it?
I really think that our system, like if I could wave a magic wand, like number one, in this day and age when you have so many different models of education, you have hybrid, you have in-person, you have in-line, you can use a mix of all three. You have extended school where you can run double sessions. You can run a day session and then you can run an evening session. There's no need to have this old school, archaic 180-day brick and mortar butts in seats requirement that equals the education of a student, right? Mm-hmm. So I would get rid of that. Let schools come up with their own model, their own calendar. So that would be one. If we're stuck with 180 days, then I really think that we should really start looking at more innovative, kind of like year-round models where, you know, we could be nine weeks
don't
on.
Don't some districts like Vail do that?
Some districts
do that.
And
it's been successful.
It's actually gone over very well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I certainly wouldn't mind going, following like a 9 weeks on and a 5 weeks off, nine weeks on. Because then you can get your maintenance done at a regular interval, you know? And so if that to me would be a little bit more reasonable if we are just hamstrung into this 180-day requirement.
Are young people required to go to school in the state of Arizona? What is the law on that?
At 16, you can make a free choice to unfortunately drop out. But up until the age of 16, it is a compulsory, mandatory requirement that children and young people be in school.
And some people decide, the parents would decide that they would homeschool the children.
Some parents will decide for homeschool, and that's sort of an effect of COVID. You know, those COVID online school lockdown days. The percentage of parents that opt for homeschools and alternative platforms has just blown up. I often tell people, like for us, the worst ramification of COVID wasn't necessarily the learning loss or the politicization of whether or not to wear a mask or get a vaccine. It was the fact that 40,000 of our customers discovered that there were other options beside us. That has been a devastating effect that we're still trying to come back from. Micro schools, homeschool, and then on top of that, our customers being basically paid to walk away from us via
the
empowerment scholarship. Here's $5,500.
That changed everything, didn't it?
Yeah, we'll give you $5,500 to walk away from the local public school system. So all of that has just created tremendous challenges. And I think in our overall enrollment drive, a later start to us would only help.
Are you holding steady at your enrollment? I know you won't really have some firm numbers until 10 school days into the year.
Yeah, it's the enrollment is up right now. You know, the district, we're up a couple of hundred students. However, that's non-inclusive of the infamous 10-day count, right? So for all of you listening out there, the state of Arizona requires by law that school districts drop from their rosters, from their enrollment rosters, any student that has been absent for 10 consecutive days.
Okay.
Because there's funding attached to those kids. You cannot keep them any longer, or it's a fraudulent collection of public funds. So we have to drop those kids. So that usually tells us where we stand with enrollment. You also have families that are on wait lists for like private schools or charter schools that have actually enrolled at TUSD. And they're on a wait list somewhere else. And if they get into that other place,
then they will leave.
Sometimes they leave. It's a crapshoot. It's 50-50. 50% of the time, those families fall in love with their TUSD school and say, well, we actually like it so much here. We're going to stay.
Yeah.
and then sometimes they leave.
Boy, these numbers really are going to fluctuate, aren't they?
They're going to fluctuate. And then we're still taking students. So we still have a lot of students that are registering. Late arrivals from summer vacation. Families still coming in.
A student could enroll right now?
Students can enroll right now. And we did a lot of enrollment day one, day two.
And what, do they just show up with their parents?
Just show up. Yeah. I'm ready.
So you guys have not been in the news, which is a good thing when school opens. Any instance, seems like it's going very well this year.
Our biggest challenges continue to be HVAC, although this year I would say there's a dramatic reduction in HVAC-related challenges. Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to the bond. Just having about 20 schools since the bond money came in.
With all new systems.
Have been able to have all new heating and cooling systems. Mm-hmm. You feel a lessening of the weight with those 20 schools.
Yeah.
And the, you know, we still have some challenges. Our good people out at Lineweaver, they've been awesome with us, our teachers and staff. We've had some AC challenges out there. I want to thank them for their patience. Miles Early Learning on Broadway.
Did they have problems?
They had some issues, and they worked with us, and we've got them up and running. But
any of your schools have still have evaporative cooling?
No, we're pretty much all centralized HVAC. It's just that the HVAC units in a lot of these schools are so old.
Just keep it.
Yeah, they're on the brink of failure in it. And with a bond package this size, you wish that you can do all of those installs. I think we have 63 schools slated for new systems. You want to do all these installs like overnight, and it's frustrating. You just can't do that.
And if you started after Labor Day, you probably could have got maybe a handful more schools up and running with the new systems.
Yeah, usually in a 30-day window, you can do three or four installs. Yeah, yeah. And so we would have had more schools. Another reason for, you know, looking at a different calendar.
All right, we'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday midweek edition. Be right back.
Congratulations to KVOI's own Hall of Fame broadcaster, Bill Buckmaster, who's been nominated as Best Radio Host in the Tucson Weekly's annual Best Of competition. To vote, just go to TucsonWeekly.com. Voting ends August 28th. So cast your vote today and help Bill Buckmaster win Best Radio Host. And catch the Buckmaster Show every weekday at noon on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Boy, it's an easy sell when I start talking about Silver City on a day like this as we go toward 112, 113 possibly. It's 94 degrees over in Silver City at the midday point. So, yeah, easily going to be 10 to 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City. Certainly worth the drive, about a three-hour drive to cool off. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, and you'll have a great time over there. A lot of outdoor activities. Look at the overnight lows. Wow. Low to mid-60s. So, actually, one night there, what do we have, Saturday night, like upper 50s, around 60. So that's a pleasant August evening over in Silver City. And get away from the town and look at the stars. What, they're fantastic over there, the nighttime viewing. All right, let's continue now in segment number four with our superintendent of Tucson Unified School District, Gabriel Trujillo. I saw a headline in the Arizona Daily Star that your district will be easing standardized testing. What does that mean?
Well, you know, we know that assessments are important, but they're not the true and total measure of the overall educational quality of a school, right? A student's ability to take and pass a test is just one aspect of the instructional quality of the school or the quality of teaching and learning in a school. We trust our teachers. We believe in our teachers. We have some amazing educators that have been very vocal and have been very clear that we're overdoing it a little bit with the assessments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have teachers that are against getting kids ready for the Arizona Academic Skills Assessment. It's just how many preparation assessments we're trying to cram into the school year. So, you know, working hand in hand with the Tucson Education Association, the employee association representing the teachers, we made a commitment to dial back and to give more time back to our teachers for quality daily instruction.
Mm. Are the teachers back? Are they, by and large, did the teachers come back that you had hoped had come back for the school year?
Yeah, we didn't see
erosion, big-time erosion.
No, we didn't see a lot of attrition. We didn't experience a lot of retirements and resignations last year. Nothing outside of the normal. So we're happy to have our teachers back, and we're looking forward to this fall's override, which I think is going to be pivotal in terms of us being able to compensate them better in a way that really testifies to how much we appreciate them.
And there is still confusion among the electorate about what an override is.
Yeah, overrides, that's a school district asking the electorate to authorize a percentage of dollars to exceed its operational budget. That would be funded by the taxpayers. The maximum you can ask of the taxpayers is a 15%. 15% increase over what you've been budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
For TUSD, that means $45 million, mm-hmm. okay, for each year of a five-year override. And you are able to spend those override dollars on staff salaries, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can spend them on instructional academic initiatives and to support academic initiatives. You can add positions, and you can invest in your staff. That's different from a bond, which bond is capital, books, buses, buildings. Mm-hmm. So they're very separate pots of
money. And you went to the voters on that and got a thumbs up.
We did on the bond for facilities.
The bond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now this is for teacher and educator salaries.
Mm-hmm. The footprint of Tucson Unified has changed so much. We've talked a little bit about it. Ravi, Dr. Shaw was with us, one of the five governing board members, and it's out there now, Dr. Trujillo, about the fact that the demographics have changed so much at Tucson Unified.
Yes, and listen, there's a huge swath of the district, okay? Basically, the eastern part of Midtown all the way to the far east side. Mm-hmm. That's a huge chunk of our district. And it's been hit with a triple whammy generational demographic shift, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the first part of the triple whammy is you have 45% of those homeowners east of Swan.
Yeah.
They're over the age of 55.
Really?
So that's bad for our business. Okay. Mm, these are folks that their kids are grown. Mm-hmm. And they're really not into the K-12 system anymore. The second part of that triple whammy is people being older and waiting longer to have kids. Mm-hmm. So the K-12 families that are there, you have folks in their mid-40s or 50s that basically have toddlers, you know, like myself.
Yeah. Okay?
And so you're going to have to wait years before those kids come into your system. That's bad for business. And I think the third part of the triple whammy is the few K-12 aged families that are there are either thinking about leaving, in the process of leaving, or they've already left for cheaper, more affordable living mm-hmm. in outlying areas like Marana mm-hmm. or Vail or mm-hmm. Sahuarita or even as far up the 19 as Rio Rico. Mm-hmm. And that all of that spells do something. Mm-hmm. These are generational challenges that we face. And it may not be this board, it may not be the next board, but at some point.
And how does that work? Someone has to create a blueprint to reorganize the district.
You know, we pretty much know, we have enough information.
Do you think you could do it?
We can do that. It's more about the political will of the community. And people, when you Google school consolidations, reconfigurations, or even mm-hmm. the very scary C word closures, your internet results will be rife with board members being recalled, superintendents being fired, boardrooms being taken over by angry residents. It is not an easy issue. Mm. However, there are some school districts across the country that have done it a little better. Mm. I'm going to be looking at San Antonio's model in Texas.
Okay.
They had a very collaborative process mm-hmm. with community leaders and residents mm-hmm. that actually led to a smoother process. Mm-hmm. So not that any of that work is imminent right now. I'm going to be taking a look at it. What did they do that really lessened the noise, that mm-hmm. really brought in residents, mm-hmm. was inclusive of community leaders, and ultimately led to the successful consolidation of and reconfiguration of the San Antonio Independent School District?
So we have how many schools? 60 some?
We have 88.
Oh, 88.
We have 88.
I always miss that one. It's more than I had thought. And I wonder what you could realistically consolidate down to. Do you have any kind of number that you would throw out?
Well, I'll give
you go ahead.
I'll give you an example. Mesa Schools, they operate 64 campuses.
Okay.
And they have an enrollment of about 49,000.
No.
Okay. So our enrollment is 39,000, mm-hmm. give or take. You know, we're actually hovering more around 40, mm-hmm. and we operate 86 campuses.
There you go.
Right. So, I mean, we could probably very easily look at Mesa and what they're doing. But unlike Mesa, who's losing students at a larger rate than we are, mm-hmm. here's the good news about TUSD. We're not landlocked. Mm-hmm. There are areas of the district that are growing. Uh-huh. We just have to invest in those areas. The further southwest you go towards the casino, Casino del Sol, you're going to start to see residential areas being built or in the process of being built. You have families moving out there. So there's opportunity at the end of all this. It's just a very, very politically and emotionally charged issue that we're going to have to figure out how to navigate.
All right, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, thank you very much. We've already got our September appointment booked for you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a 23-hour break, I guess. We'll be back with you tomorrow, Thursday, at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show. Until then, hope everybody has a great day.